Hey, everybody. Welcome to Story Nerds. I'm Jessica Kate.
And I'm Hannah Davis. And we have with us today a really fantastic Southern author, Lindsay P. Brackett. Lindsay, welcome.
Woohoo!
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Yay! Really quick before we begin, Lindsay, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you write?
So I write Southern women's fiction. I really love Karen White, who is also pretty well known in that genre. She calls it grit lit, which I think is so funny. And such a great term because I write women's fiction, but it's set in the South and it deals with, themes and obstacles that are unique both to us as women, but also particularly to women of my Southern culture in the American South. We were raised a little bit differently. And so it's fun to get to explore that now as an adult.
For sure. And I think that ties in super well to our theme today. We are going to be doing a deep dive on one of my all-time favorite romantic comedies, Sweet Home Alabama.
Woo-hoo!
So, Lindsay, I want you to start us off. Can you tell us a little bit about Sweet Home Alabama to you, especially being a Southerner? I know you don't live in Alabama, but you live nearby and in the South culture. So
Sweet Home Alabama is really near and dear to me for this reason. Here's your first fun Sweet Home Alabama nugget. Not filmed in Alabama. Not at all.
Seriously?
Not even a little bit.
And here's the thing. I went to Alabama just to get the sign and like sing Sweet Home Alabama.
No, it is, Georgia has a really thriving film industry. Mm-hmm. And Sweet Home Alabama was one of the very first films that was filmed here in Georgia. And at the time, I was a senior at Berry College, and it was filmed on the campus of Berry College.
Oh.
So I have friends who are in the movie. I have friends who worked the movie. I've got lots of fun tidbits that they shared with me recently to share with y'all.
Yeah,
but it was all awesome. Filmed. It was filmed in Rome, Georgia, which is where Berry is located. Some in downtown Rome, primarily on the what's called the Oak Hill part of the campus, which is the old plantation home. And then it was also filmed in Crawfordville. I had another friend talking about it was filmed in Crawfordville, the town scenes, which is like a it's near Lake Oconee, which is a little more central Georgia.
They
filmed it all in Georgia.
I absolutely love, I can't wait to get into this to hear some of your tidbits, because I absolutely love hearing those like behind the scenes stories about what it's like being on a film set, and especially one of that caliber. So, but really quick before we get into those tidbits, let's just kind of quick start into the deep dive about the movie. Jess and Lindsay, do you want to tell us about the plot and obviously the characters in it?
Sure, Jess, do you want to do it or do you want me to do it?
Sure. I'll give us a quick recap and then you can tell us why you love it so much, being the one of us who most recently watched it.
Yes.
You watched it last night again. So quick recap, if you haven't seen Sweet Home Alabama, what have you been doing with your life? It came out 15 years ago. It's one of the best rom-coms ever made. I think it's probably my reigning favorite rom-com. Go see it. It is about Melanie, played by Reese Witherspoon. She grew up in Alabama with a boy who she was friends with, and they fell in love. Then she fell pregnant. They got married straight out of high school. She left him. She went to New York and became a fashion designer. So the movie actually starts when 7 years later, she's a fashion designer just starting to make it in New York, and she gets engaged to the son of New York's mayor. But she's still married to her Alabama husband, so she has to go back to Alabama, try and get a divorce off him. He does not make it easy for her, and much hilarity ensues.
It's so, such great hilarity. It's so true.
It's so good. Love, love, love it. So, Lindsay, do you want to tell us why you like the movie?
Well, I love it because I love Reese Witherspoon. It's probably that, and it's so fun to watch something and you know exactly where these people are and what was happening and what the real story is behind that particular set.
Mm-hmm.
But I do primarily love it because I love Reese Witherspoon. I think her comedic timing is spot on. And Reese is a Southern girl, so she is not.
Oh, she actually is.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So I believe she's from She lives in Nashville now, but I believe she's from Tennessee.
That sounds right to me, yep.
Does it sound right? But so she, one of the things Hollywood often gets wrong is that over cliched, overdone, really inflated version of the South. And Sweet Home Alabama, while it did lean a little bit into the cliches, it also, at the same time, that's really what it's like. That town that she goes back home to, that is what every small, tiny Southern town is like. That's what they look like. That, they're not all cute and quaint and darling. A lot of them are just, they're tired. And you get that feeling. And the people there are, they're kind of up against sort of an uphill battle sometimes. And so I just really feel like they captured it, and they captured it very sweetly and very, without painting us all with the same paintbrush that we so often get shown with. I really felt like there was a lot of compassion. The movie is actually, my friend and I were watching it together, and if it had been filmed today, the script would have, I think they would have changed some things about the script, because when it was filmed 15 years ago, you could say things like, for instance, Andrew's mother talks about how she's a Democrat and she's elected by poor people. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that that's something that would be said in America's polarizing political environment right now. But the movie handled it just really, it's overlaid with the comedy, but it also just feels really true to Southern women. I really love that. I don't watch it and go, oh my gosh, you got everything wrong.
See, and I love those movies for that reason. Like, I love the movie New in Town, and it may not, Minnesota is obviously not as popular as the South, for sure. But I love the humor, which they do include in the movie, I will admit that. But I love the humor about New in Town, because it's just like, oh, that's so Minnesota. Like, some of it, the accents were a little overdone, but it is true to life for some people that I know in northern Minnesota do really speak like that. It's even funny. Today, I was up north in northern Minnesota with my grandparents, and one of lifelong family friends came to visit, and he's there sitting at the kitchen table chatting with my grandparents, and every time he comes to visit, I'm just like, if there is ever a definition of, like, a northern Minnesotan, that is him, So it's so fun when they represent that, really fun. So I'm so glad to hear that Sweet Home Alabama is very true to life. I think we all want that when we're watching something, is to know that it is very much so like what is in reality. So,
and weirdly, despite the fact that I am Australian, I actually really connected with that part of it as well, because I felt that the small town experience was really accurately represented. Like, I may not be from a southern small town, but I am from a very rural area as a kid that was probably about the size and demographic of Pigeon Creek. and the feeling was, some parts were similar, some parts were different, but that feeling that it's not a glamorous place. It is a fairly dead end kind of area. The classes, like, it's interesting, this movie kind of tackles class. Like, she's engaged to the mayor of New York's son. Like, that is high, high, high up. And she comes from a place where she was pregnant as a teen. Her mum had her as a teenager. Everybody works at the factory. Like, and it's just, that is a completely different circle. And that small town trapped feeling, I know that me and a lot of my friends relate to that feeling, and we hightailed it out of there pretty quick when we became adults. So
as did I.
That feeling, that was interesting. And it really went a whole level deeper. Like, it leaned into that so well. And that's, for me, why this stands head and shoulders above other romantic comedies, because it's not just about her and Jake's issues. It's about her relationship with her mother, which, is kind of the root of a lot of their problems. And her issues with her mother kind of stem from what both her and her mother believe about themselves and being stuck in this small town. And she has complicated relationships with her friends, who are much more well-defined characters than most best mates in rom-coms, who, just have, they're cartoon characters in most of them. But these people, they're very real and they have real problems. And I really like that about this movie.
I think one of my favorite aspects about the movie is just the way that they did the romantic circle, the way that You know that Patrick Dempsey's character, who he's the mayor's son, and he is, you see his, like, he's a really good guy.
Yeah,
And
I love that. He's a good guy.
you could go for him any day. And, like, let's be real, who doesn't go for Dr.
Exactly.
McDreamy anyway? But let's, like, I think it just was so great that he is genuinely a good guy. They didn't make him the bad guy. They didn't make him, like, snooty and powerful. He's a really good guy. And you're like, at the end of the movie, when she has to choose, you feel it. And I know we've talked about this before, but I just have to reiterate, like, how well they did that, because you feel at the end of the movie her like terrible heartbreaking decision about this life that she's built in New York and the person her heart has always been with. And oh, they did that so well.
And if he had been a rich snob, then it wouldn't have been about her figuring out her identity and reconciling with how she grew up. It would have been about, do you go with the poor guy that you love or the rich guy that you don't? Like, we've seen that before, and it just doesn't ring half as true as her real decision, which is, I have my real life and then I have the life I've wanted, but do I actually really want it? And is there maybe a middle ground? And am I just not dealing with certain things? And like for her, the conflict, yeah, it wasn't between the guys, it was within herself. And
Absolutely.
I heard a great thing the other day that in romantic comedies, a lot of people, when they're talking about how to create a story and stuff, they talk about the bad guy, the villain, the antagonist, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't translate well to romantic comedies because there might be characters who aren't great, like the mayor, but they're not the real antagonist for the story. It's the character themselves, like the main character's own flaws. That's the enemy that threatens to bring you down in a rom-com.
Yeah.
And that's what you
And I
have
think
to
that's
fix,
true.
so.
It's true about what I write as well. I mean, it's true about women's fiction. Like in my latest book, that is the main character. That is her conflict, is do I want to reclaim this life that I always said I didn't want, or do I want to embrace something completely new? And it's all, it's all an internal struggle. There's not a villain, like you said. There's not an antagonist you can necessarily put your finger on. There are obstacles. There's not this one person who seems to be standing in her way. So, except for herself.
Awesome. So, Lindsay, do you want to tell us a little bit more behind the scenes tidbits?
Yes, I can't wait about some of those nuggets for sure.
So, Sweet Home Alabama, during my course of time that I was at Barry from 1998 to until 2000, 2002. So, I was there, I did a 4-year degree and I studied theater. So, I'm actually, people ask me all the time if I'm
Oh,
in this
cool.
movie. I did, and I'm not because I think that I was doing a show. I think that's why.
Oh, that's almost so devastating. Like, oh, I'm gonna have to do a show for my college. I have to skip this amazing once in a lifetime opportunity.
Well, and the thing is too, Barry at this point had been used as a movie set multiple times. They just the
Oh.
year before had filmed Remember the Titans at the
Oh,
school.
really? Oh,
Yeah, that's
another
such a good
favorite.
movie. Yeah, it's so great. I love that too. And so we, another great Southern film. So we, we were like, we're so cool. We have so many famous people at Barry College. And Barry is the world's largest campus. It's 26,000 acres of campus. It's insane. It's a very small liberal arts school, small, like 2,000 students. But the campus is very large and very historical. There's a complex called the Ford Complex. It was actually funded by Henry Ford, and it looks like Oxford. So we call it the castle.
Oh.
It's just gorgeous. And it was a college that was started as a school for the poor mountain children, for children living in poverty in Appalachia. That's what it was started by a woman named Martha Barry, who was very ahead of her time in terms of her thinking of what women could do. She never married, but she did inherit her family's plantation. And so the Carmichael Plantation of Sweet Home Alabama is actually the Barry family. Yes. So it's called Oak Hill. It's open to the public. And we used to joke, it was gorgeous. My wedding pictures were taken there. I should send y'all one, actually.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
We'll have to post them on our Facebook page when we post the podcast. Definitely.
Of course, I got married in 2002, so I'll have to scan them in. So, and the joke there always was that Reese Witherspoon was the only person allowed to get married at Oak Hill, because that you can't, at the time, you couldn't get married on the grounds. That was, you could get married all over the college and other places, but you could not get married at Oak Hill. And since then, some alumni have donated some money, built a beautiful pavilion, and now there's an event venue at Oak Hill, so you can get married there. You want to recreate Sweet Home Alabama. So the commercial plantation, that's a real place. That's the Martha Berry home. Everything in that house, everything in the that you see in the movie is real, is something that's already, it's just in the house. I have friends who worked there as curators. They were telling me that they, like my friend Kate said, she can just name every single thing that was used in the film because she had to help pull it. Yes. And actually, even the scene that is Candace, look, the Kate, the mom, Candace Bergman.
Yeah, the mayor.
Mayor. Her office is actually a room in Oak Hill. They actually filmed that.
Oh. Yes. They and must have only shot in New York, like maybe just for that opening scene then.
Yeah, I don't think they did a whole lot of filming in New York.
Yeah.
Is my understanding. My friend Tara told me that she remembered seeing Patrick Dempsey when she was working. Yeah, and she ran into him, and he was so, like, polite. And, you know, this was before he was McDreamy, so now we're all like, oh, my gosh.
Okay, he was McDreamy before he was McDreamy.
He was McDreamy before he was McDreamy, but, yes. The Oak Hill thing is probably the biggest. They did not damage, you know, the anvil thing. That was all.
Yes. Yeah. Like a set they built.
Yeah, they either built a fake, I mean, because that building is real. Mm-hmm, I can't remember if they built like a model or if they just CGI'd that in some way. But they did not damage anything at Oak Hill. There was, you know, alumni were very concerned about that. That was one of the big questions. So the wedding scene is probably, you know, the most famous scene. And I have a friend who did the flowers because the florist didn't show up that day.
Oh, what? As if you don't show up to the set of Sweet Home Alabama.
I know.
Who would give up that opportunity? Just saying.
I don't know. I don't think they knew quite what they were dealing with, apparently. And then I'll have to send you, I can send you these images too if you want them. My friend, yes. Suzanne, we call her our famous friend because Suzanne at the time was a communications major and she did a lot of Barry's like in-home filming, like the college television shows and things like that. And so Suzanne is in the movie as a wedding guest and there's a pretty bold shot where Reese is looking down the aisle and Suzanne looks back and we get her, like, we saw her full face. And I will, you know, we did this with Remember the Titans and with Sweet Home Alabama. They did a special screening for Barry students before the movie was released.
Oh!
And so, it was so cool. So, you know, you go and you see this film with all these people you go to school with and it's filmed on your campus and it's just this really big, exciting thing. Like, oh my gosh, we know people in this movie.
Yes, it is.
It's so cool. She told me all sorts of fun things because Suzanne spent a lot of time on set. And she said the day that they filmed that wedding scene, it was so cold. It was November in Georgia.
Really?
Which either, I mean, it's going to be 75 degrees or it's going to be 45 degrees. You just never know. 45 is probably not cold to Hannah, but that is very cold.
I mean, but if you're doing an outdoor wedding, 45 is cold. Like, I would if I'm going to be doing an outdoor November wedding at, like, in Georgia, if it's 45 degrees, I'm still wearing a nice shawl. So, and she's not wearing a shawl. She's like, tiny little lace cap sleeves is about all she has. So I'll give her credit.
Suzanne said that the extras were told you can either wait in the, like, on set in the chairs, or you can wait over here in this heated tent. And so she and another student that was with her opted to wait on set, obviously, because they weren't going to miss anything. And one of the assistants brought them, like, blankets and stuff. And she said at one point, Reese actually came out, sat down in the aisle across from them to wait for, I guess, a take. And they, like, offered her a blanket and she declined and said she was fine, that she was really, really sweet. I was like, you talk to Reese Witherspoon. That's just I know. And then my favorite thing she told me, though, was about the rain scene. And that, so they, you know, they filmed all day long. And that scene in the movie, the wedding itself, is so small. And
now, are we talking about the rain scene where she's at the beach at the end and it's pouring rain? Is that the one you were talking about?
Well, you know, it starts raining at the wedding.
At the wedding, okay.
At the wedding, yes. So they told them, we're going to do the scene last. It's the last scene of the day. It's the last shot of the day. And there's only one take. Because if you think about it, once you're wet, you're wet.
So I'm guessing they had sprinklers set up?
They did. That's what she said. She said there was a huge pool in front of Oak Hill, like a tank, and they filled it with water. And they pumped that water into a grid of pipes that was hung over the wedding set. Mm-hmm. And then they would call action, and the rain started coming down and reset her line. If you're friends of the bride, stick around. I'm going to go find me a groom. And then they all just ran out.
They nailed it.
Yeah, and they just nailed it. Yeah. So, and then I think they filmed, I can't remember where I was told they filmed the beach scenes. I don't think, I'm almost positive that they didn't go. Somebody at one point thought they went to Gulf Shores, Alabama to film those, but I don't think they did. I think they filmed them like outside of Savannah.
Okay.
Like Tide Jekyll, I think. I think that's where they filmed those, because I think they kept as much of it in Georgia as possible. Georgia gives really good tax breaks for film. He'll kick us a lot. And then she was telling us that the scene where Melanie and Catherine are having lunch in the restaurant and they're planning the wedding, that at the time was this really nice restaurant in downtown Rome called Magretta Hall. And it's this beautiful historic building that is now a Mexican restaurant. So now you look at it and you're like, whoa, that was in a movie? Because it's just kind of bright. And but at the time, it was really understated. And it was a place we would go and eat, like, on Sunday after church. It was like a Southern buffet. And so that they actually used that. Yeah, she said originally it was supposed to be a restaurant full of people, so they had hired a bunch of extras to be in the restaurant, and then they changed the scene and decided to just make it Catherine and Melanie, and then they had all the extras doing the sidewalk, you know, crossing when they were on the sidewalk.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people look at that scene and you think it was filmed in New York, and it wasn't. It was actually filmed.
Yeah, I assume they were back. I mean, for the story's purposes, maybe they did intend it to be New York. But
I think the story's purposes, it is New York, yes.
Yeah. Cool. So, awesome.
That's really, I mean, it was just so fun. And then this is actually one of my, like, I don't post a whole lot on my personal Facebook page. I do a lot more on my author page, but this one, it was fun to reconnect with. I tagged a whole bunch of people I went to college with, and people started talking about it, and we were chatting about it. And it was a really fun thing to go back to.
That must be so fun to have all of those memories kind of revolving around the, like, that's such a unique thing to be a part of for most of us in the universe anyway.
A teacher, we had a film that was done in the town that I live in now, and they used our middle school parking lot. It housed all the, like, RVs and things for the actors, all their dressing rooms.
Cool.
This was a movie that Jennifer Aniston was in. I was teaching middle school at the time, and my little middle schoolers were like, we don't know who that is. Because Friends had gone off the air, I don't know, 5 or 7 years before, hadn't been brought to Netflix yet. So they were, they're kind of in this gap of not really knowing or caring. And all the teachers were just like, you do not understand how cool this is.
Oh, I would have so been one of those people.
Yeah, I grew up, like, whether Friends was on or not, I don't know about America, but in Australia, it constantly plays on reruns. About 6 o'clock every night on some channel, there will be an episode of Friends. And Mum just always watched it. So we would have been,
I remember watching Friends in high school in the latter years. And I remember it was on Thursday nights, right ahead of ER. And we would watch Friends and ER, and like my friends in junior high, we would come early to school. I mean, not early to school. I'm not an early person. So I was just there at school before the bell rang. And within the first few minutes before the bell rang and in between, we would come out and we would talk about Friends. And I remember arguing with my friend Jennifer Dahl. I don't think she will ever listen to this, so I'm okay naming her. But Jennifer Dahl and I argued a lot about whether Rachel should be with Ross or Joey.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I know.
I'm guessing you were on Team Joey.
I was totally on Team Joey, which is funny because now that I've watched the whole series, I'm definitely a little bit more Team Ross, but I still have a really soft spot for Joey. So, as previously as discussed.
But so back to Sweet Home Alabama. Lindsay, I'm curious, which parts of the Southern culture did you feel were like that really rang true for you?
Probably. Well, I really love, I love what you get to see Jake do with the glass. I mm-hmm. think that, like, that idea of taking something that is a part of nature and making it into something beautiful and functional is mm-hmm. very, it's something that we as a culture are, we, that just happens. In almost more Appalachian, mm-hmm. As a subset of the Southern culture. But I love seeing that with his character, what he does with the glass work. I think it's just beautiful. I think the tendency to tell stories, there's that scene where he's in the truck with Patrick Dempsey and he's telling mm-hmm. him the story of him and Melanie and the cat. Melanie. And I think that is such a Southern thing that we do. Like we embellish our stories naturally and everything's hyperbole and everything is always to the extreme. And then there's always that like supernatural and we still see that cat walking around today. We'd love to leave it like that. Like we think this person died, but we're not sure. I just love those little tidbits. I love the way that you see them. They were high school friends and then they're still friends as adults. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're still kind of, particularly when you stay in your hometown, you tend to then continue to move in that circle throughout the rest of your life. And I saw that. We had our 20th high school reunion last fall and went home, went to the football game with all of my class. But the people that I hung out with were the girls I was closest to in high school. Like we all got together and had dinner and we all started a group text message and started just talking back and forth to one another all the time, more than we had at any other point in time in the last 20 years. And it was just fun to see how you don't think you're in high school for very long, but somehow that 4 years really cements a part of your life. And mm-hmm. so I really think they, in particular, I love that scene on the water tower with the men just sitting on the water tower. And you can, you know, doing the same thing that they've probably done since they were 16 years old. So,
yeah. It's true. If I went back to my hometown and everyone else also went back there because most of us have left, then we would probably be similar. You just kind of pick up where you left off. And I have a particular mate he's the one that we're still in contact with the most. I think we tend to grab spare friends and go on holidays in capital cities around the place about every year or so. We're kind of like, hey, who wants to hang out in Sydney for a weekend? And we do. And yeah, every time you just pick up where you left off and it's like you're all still in school, basically.
It is. It's really interesting. In college, it's just that same kind of way, which I think that's part of why Sweet Home Alabama is just such a sweet place in my heart, because it takes me right back to that special time and those people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So speaking of Southern, though, you write Southern romance. Can you tell us really quick about your newest release and all about your books and your writing?
I would love to. So my latest book is The Bridge Between, just released on July 31st. And it was a bit of a crazy time in my life. I think Jess's book, I think yours came out the 30th, right? Did they release?
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
That was fun. I bet my life was like insanity at the time that book came out. Mm-hmm. And so it's been, I feel like I've been playing catch up on it, but it is, The Bridge Between is a follow-up to my debut, Still Waters, which came out in 2017. It follows the life of the same family. And so this is the Coultry family, and they are native to Edisto Island, South Carolina. Like this is their home place. And however, you've got people in the family who have left, like we were talking about, because they want, you know, particularly the main character in my new book, her name is Louisa, and Lou wanted more for her life. And when she left, she broke someone's heart and really never moved past that in a lot of ways. Even though she fell in love, she married, she built a new life, there was this kind of hauntedness that her life tended to have. And she always wondered if she'd made a mistake, if she'd done something wrong. Throughout the course of the story and the books, they're both standalone novels, but Bridge Between relies heavily on some backstory that you learn in Stillwaters. A lot of people have read them. They've read them in order and then they've read them out of order. It doesn't matter. It's like, you know, it's like reading a book in a, like Christy Hunter is one of my favorite Regency romance writers. And I feel like I can read Christy's books out of order. And even though like it gives me a spoiler for something that happened earlier, I can always go back and it's still enjoyable. So, but Bridge Between is really about it, much like Sweet Home Alabama. It begs the question of whether or not you can put a marriage together when it's come apart. If one of you has left, and then decides you want to come back, is there a way to put that back together? And I've been married now for 17 years, and my husband and I got married very young. We graduated from Barry in May. We got married in July. And I think for me personally, really leaning into those themes of what does it mean to have a long-lasting marriage? What does it mean to be in a place in your life where you've spent years and years serving your family, taking care of your children, kind of putting your own dreams on the back burner? What does it mean to now be in a place where maybe you can actually begin to embrace those dreams? And you're terrified that if you do, you'll be successful, and you're terrified that if you don't, you'll never be happy. And so it's just this real struggle that we see her going through. And so for me particularly, The Bridge Between really just resonates for the place that I'm in as a wife and as a mother and as someone who has grown to understand that these small towns that we leave behind, that we can't wait to get rid of, we carry pieces of them with us into our new lives. And sometimes we carry unresolved issues from things that happen.
Yeah.
And so Lou in particular has to deal with these unresolved issues before she can love again, whether she chooses to love, you know, whether she chooses to rebuild her marriage with her husband or whether she chooses to embrace something new. At the end of the day, she's got to decide to be happy where she is and be happy with the life she chooses. And that's really been her lifelong struggle. So that was a really long, rambly, not good elevator pitch.
That's just why we love
themes to Sweet Home Alabama too.
Yes. Yeah, which I didn't even notice until I was rewatching the movie. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Let's talk about how this movie is like my book. Yeah. And you know, I really love my friend and I who were watching it together. We talked about this. You know, they could have gone so wrong with the way they set this film up, because if you really think about it, from the beginning, Melanie she's cheating on Jake the whole time. They're still married. And yet you love her. Like you're all about, like, you want her to be happy. You do. Mm-hmm. And it's such a challenge, I think, as a storyteller to present a character who may be making decisions that some of our readers would frown upon, and yet you present them in this way that is so sympathetic. And so, like, life is not just as black and white as we want to believe. There's all this kind of gray area, and how she's dealing with it is such an interesting unraveling. It's such a nice layering. I think it's what makes this film so lasting, is the fact that she's not a cookie cutter, simplistic rom-com character. She's got so much depth to her, and you can so easily not like her and criticize her for the choices she's making, but at the same time you feel so sympathetic to her.
That's and, it. And I think it's
keep
going.
With The Bridge Between, I took a character that in Stillwaters, because Lou is the mother of my heroine in Stillwaters, and people did not like her. They were like, she is mean and she is cold and she is not nice to her daughter. And then I took her and I gave her her own story, and I was so worried people were not going to identify with her at all. And I've had numerous readers message me and tell me how much they identify with her and how sympathetic they feel toward the place that she is in her life right now. And that was a huge weight off my chest.
That's to feel awesome. Like
I'm taking this character who was unlikable and showing you how she became the person that she was. And I love seeing her evolve from that first book to the second book. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's so true. I think it's such a great adage that, like, we never, even in real life, people hurt. And there's the saying, hurting people hurt others. And
yes.
You know, To what extent that's true for everyone, I think depends on the person. But I think that it's so frequent that we experience somebody in a negative light and we just automatically assume that they're a bad person. And in reality, we don't know what their story is and who they are and what they've experienced and what they're feeling. And Absolutely. So I think that's so amazing that you're kind of bringing that to life through this character.
And I think there's a part of two big reasons why we like Melanie too. Like, one is that she was hurting, you know, when she left Jake, she had just suffered a miscarriage. Their marriage wasn't going well. She had issues with her mother. She wasn't able to live her dreams. So, and then you also like her because she's overcome all of that to make it in a very difficult industry in New York. Yeah. Like, she's worked her guts out for 7 years and she did it. And she's like, you know, she has a healthy relationship and you got to admire that. Even if you don't agree with the choices, like, she certainly has some persistence and a tough work ethic.
Absolutely. And I'm like, and now watching it now as an adult and knowing what I know about like finances, I'm watching it and going, she was really good.
Like, yeah.
She was making some bank up there in New York. Yeah. That was a lot of talent.
And I think we can't finish this podcast without talking for a minute about the actual romance between Melanie and Jake. We've kind of talked about everything else in the movie but that.
Yes.
But how much do we love Melanie and Jake?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay, if there is one person, I remember talking with Bethany Turner several episodes ago, not several, but I think it was the first time we talked with her. And she said, you know, when the guy you can't get is Greg Kinnear, you know, that you didn't get is Greg Kinnear. And you're like, okay, that's the exact same thing with Sweet Home Alabama. If the guy that you didn't get is Patrick Dempsey, but then the guy you get, is it awesome? And it's just so, so good.
It is so good. I think they do a great job of showing the difference in relationship. The relationship she has with Andrew and the relationship she has with Jake. And I think you see the truest person that she is when you see her with Jake. And that's suddenly she can let her guard down. She can say what she feels. She can be her truest self. And whereas with Andrew, I think she always felt like she had to be, she couldn't embrace where she
Southern.
Came from.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep. I love it. Yeah, that's it. Like, there's a lot of hurt there. And so her honesty with Jake is pretty harsh at the start. But I love that. That's why I always love characters who have history, you know, whether they've worked together or they've had romantic history or friendship or something, because, they trust each other in a way that other characters don't. And I like those stories so much better than, you know, those instant romance kind of all happens in a weekend kind of one.
My absolute favorite moment in that whole movie is at the end of the dance and Jake leaves and she goes in separately. She goes to Bear's grave and bears the dead dog that they either owned together or loved somehow together. And she's there crying to her old dog. And Jake comes up and they have this truly honest, beautiful conversation about Jake realizing she needed her adventure and Melanie admitting that she felt so ashamed about her pregnancy. Yeah. And then even after the miscarriage, you know, and just, it was, I swear that moment makes me cry every time. And my insides just twist a little because you're just like, so good.
Today, when we watched it, my friend was like, she was talking to me and she was like, I'm talking to you during the scene because if I don't, I'm going to lose it. It's heart wrenching and yet beautiful. And they have this really beautiful moment together. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, the author in us wants to call that's Melanie's mirror moment. She's got to choose.
Yeah, it is great. And I just love the scene where they first see each other again for the first time after 7 years too, and the banter between them and how well they know each other too. Like, she knows, they just hint at so much history. The whole thing with the hider key just cracks me up, you know. He tries to walk around the house and she gets his hider key and gets back in and she's never told him where it is. And like, it's been 7 years and they're straight back to the childish fights they always had, and they have so much dirt on each other as well, and they're not afraid to use it.
Not at all. Which, when he calls the friend that's the cop, that is so funny.
I know, which I have to say makes me think back to what you said about those those like Southern stories, how the you and I just wonder, is that kind of part of it? Was that one instance where you're like, this is so Southern?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and we really do things like going cow tipping was like a thing that we would do, and like that was, if you were mad
I
at someone, you would run their track.
I have never tipped a cow over.
Well, I don't know that we ever actually tipped. They never, you know, it's not that
easy.
They're
sturdy. They're big animals.
And they're big.
It was more of a like, we're getting into trouble. It was kind of a euphemism. You know, we're going cow tipping means any number of things.
So, okay, cool. That makes a lot more sense. Because growing up on a dairy farm, I was like, I don't understand this cow tipping thing. You can't just tip a cow over. It doesn't work like that.
But running the tractor into the pond, now that is, like, my brother did that. My father. So that, yeah. In the pickup truck and varying anything with wheels.
That's awesome.
These are common things.
And the last thing I love is Jake's mum. I love the fact that the healthiest relationship that Melanie has is with her ex's mother, and it's far better than the relationship she has with her own mother. And then you kind of realize that this is probably a part of how Jake and Melanie got together, was she was probably hanging out there to spend time with his mum as well as him.
Yeah, absolutely. And then his mom, who pulls out the pen at the wedding and says, these things just happen.
She's the voice of truth throughout the movie.
And I think that's a very, I love when you see films or books lean into this. And I think in general, the Southern culture leans heavy into this idea that there's always a greater force at work. You know, we believe that it's God and that it's that he, you know, he wants good things for us. But I just love seeing a film or a book really lean into that idea that this, now not every decision you make is independent of itself. There's everything compounds and is working toward this ultimate goodness for you. And so it's just about how you respond to those signs along the way.
Awesome. Well, that is a great note to wrap up on. If our listeners want to connect with you more, Lindsay, where can they find you online?
Oh, you can find me on Facebook. My author page is Lindsay P. Brackett. You can find me on Instagram, same thing, at Lindsay P. Brackett. I'm on Twitter, Linds Brack, LINDSBRAC, not very often on there. And you can go to my website, lindsaypbrackett.com. You can sign up for my newsletter, and you'll get a free novella, which will introduce you to the characters in my book. So it might give you an idea if you would like to pick them up.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yep. And as usual. Oh, sorry. Say that one more time. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So as usual, you can always find Jess and I on Instagram and Facebook as well. I am at Hannah Davis Author on both Facebook and Instagram. Jess.
And I am at Jessica Kate Writing on both Facebook and Instagram. And also my website is jessicakatewriting.com.
There you go. And obviously our Facebook page for Story Nerds is just simply at Story Nerds. So make sure to keep tabs on us there to listen about some upcoming fun episodes we're going to have. And also for some fun photos that Lindsay is going to send us. And we are going to make sure that those get onto our Facebook page so you guys can see some of the behind the scenes of the making of Sweet Home Alabama and obviously the wedding photo. We need the wedding photo.
I'll send you one of my wedding photos.
Absolutely. Sounds awesome. And we'll have to have a gift war. I'm sure there's going to be some great gifts coming out of Sweet Home Alabama. I love it when everyone shares those in the comments.
Yes.
That'll be great. Okay. Well, thanks very much, everybody. We'll see you next episode.
Bye.
Bye.